So, you say you want the job, Mr. Bernanke.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Cheryl Glazer. Ben Bernanke goes before the Senate Banking Committee today for a job interview under Klieg lights. Bernanke's the guy the White House has tapped to take over from Federal Reserve Chief Alan Greenspan. Word is he's got the economic stuff down cold, but today's confirmation hearing could give his political skills a real workout. Marketplace's John Dimsdale explains.
Bernanke is an accomplished academic who's relatively new to Washington. He was a Federal Reserve Board member from 2002 until he was tapped to be chairman of the President's Council of Economic Advisers last year. Given Bernanke's close ties to the Bush administration, some Democrats wonder whether the White House might hold too much influence over the next Fed chairman. But one Democrat on the Senate Banking Committee, Rhode Island's Jack Reed, thinks Bernanke will be able to keep his distance.
I'm rather confident, given his professional education and academic credentials and his temperament, that he will do this. But I think it's incumbent upon us to remind him of the importance of maintaining independence.
With prices bubbling higher throughout the economy, Bernanke will have to establish his inflation-fighting credentials, while at the same time convincing politicians that higher interest rates won't choke off economic growth. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
The housing bubble has boosted U.S. home prices by about 50% over the last 5 years. But now it looks like the bubble may be getting squeezed. The gap between asking prices and offers is on the rise, and home sales are sliding thanks to higher mortgage rates and energy prices. A survey from real estate consulting company Real Trends found that home sales dropped 8% last month at the country's 48 biggest real estate brokerages. Retail sales numbers for October are due out in a couple of hours. Economists say if you take out car sales, things should look pretty good. And as Rachel Dornhelm reports, retailers from big box stores to mom-and-pop outlets are hoping that bodes well for a merry shopping season.
Predictions about a retail sales crash after the destructive hurricane season haven't panned out. Wachovia senior economist Mark Vittner says many stores can thank gas prices dropping more than 5% in October.
The economy has weathered the spike in energy prices quite well, and prices have come down so much faster than anyone would have imagined.
That means consumers are not only willing to drive to the stores, but have more cash in their pockets. And then Vittner says there's the boost from hurricane reconstruction.
There is also likely to be some benefit to retailers from spending on goods and building materials to repair homes.
Analysts often use October retail sales data to make predictions for the holiday shopping season. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
Those retail sales numbers could give Wall Street a much-needed boost. Stocks sputtered for much of the day yesterday. The Nasdaq and the S&P 500 both slid a tad, 1 point. The Dow picked up 11 points, a tenth of a percent. And how do you supersize a jumbo? Well, just ask Boeing. The aircraft makers cooked up plans for a new version of its trademark 747 that'll compete with rival Airbus's giant A380. Boeing's new and improved wide body will seat 450 people and will be 12 feet longer than the company's current 747. But it won't come cheap. The new jumbo liners will run about $200 million a pop. Orders are already coming in. This is Marketplace. If you're wiring money north of the border, there's a good chance you've been taken for a ride. Marketplace's Scott Jago fills us in on a new agreement between 47 states and Western Union.
The deal's supposed to clamp down on a growing scam, shady telemarketers who make people wire money to Canada. The cash is harder to trace that way. The New York Attorney General's office looked at all the cross-border transfers in 2003. 38% were inspired by fraud. Tom Conway with New York's Consumer Frauds Bureau says Western Union did nothing wrong, but the company will spend $8 million to boost awareness and put warnings on its forms.
This is a crime that really needs a lot of education for consumers so they are aware of the scams that are going on and think twice or three times or four times before sending their money.
Most of the scams involved seniors sending money to a Canadian lottery or sweepstakes. I'm Scott Jagow for Marketplace.
And you are listening to American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Fannie Mae, working with our partners to increase homeownership and affordable rental housing opportunities for more Americans. Fannie Mae, FannieMae.com. And by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with national patient associations to educate and support patients and their families. The Medtronic Foundation, on the web at Medtronic.com. Transportation reporting on Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the American Public Transportation Association. Public transportation, providing a transportation alternative that helps conserve both money and energy.
This is Marketplace. I'm Cheryl Glazer. A former curator at the Getty Center in Los Angeles goes on trial in Rome tomorrow. Marion True is accused of conspiring to loot priceless artifacts from that country. Three of those pieces, including a 2,000-year-old ceramic pot, have since been returned. But as Megan Williams reports, some think Italy's own laws may be to blame here.
The central part would be the second or third century after Christ. And the rest is Baroque. It's made by Algardi to restore it.
The Doria Pamphili Museum in Rome is one of the best private collections in Europe, boasting an exquisite range of Roman antiquities. Massimiliano Floridi helps run the museum. He says that while his family has no desire to sell any of the collection, he thinks the tough rules that ban the sale of antiquities outside of Italy are overkill.
The law is so strict that if you want to sell it, you have to do it illegally. We don't do it, of course, but I know collectors that do, because there's almost no way to sell it illegally. That's the problem. No, it's all blocked. It's all stopped.
Floridi says the law fails to distinguish between masterpieces that should remain here and the millions of less important pieces that sit in museum storage. Almost all antiquities are state-owned. And, says Floridi, that forces foreign museums interested in owning the objects to turn to the black market. Even getting an estimate on an ancient artifact, as he tried to do several years ago, is risky business.
He told me, "Where did you get that? Is it yours? Did you steal it somewhere?" He was just terrified. I understood from that answer that the feeling in Italy was anybody trying to sell things like that is a thief.
The research head of Italy's culture ministry, Giuseppe Proietti, admits that a huge quantity of antique objects are stuck in storage. So far, 5 million have been cataloged, a drop in the bucket. But he says allowing the sale of even minor objects would mean Italy would risk losing part of its history.
We think that all peoples of all countries must have the possibility to see directly our artifacts.
Not objects that have been bought, though, but those on loan.
We have many artifacts in our museums. But we decided 5 years ago to agree with many countries to organize exhibitions of our artifacts from storage and from museums, long term.
So far, Italy has lent artifacts for 22 long-term exhibits in the U.S. Proietti says once the millions of antiquities stuck in Italy's museum basements are finally cataloged and made available outside the country, that might help deter foreign museums like the Getty from turning to shady dealers. In Rome, I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
And here in Los Angeles, I'm Cheryl Glazer. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
It can cost a city close to
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.